from the National Catholic Register. This is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
Lent offers each of us an opportunity to reflect on our faith journey. It's a time to take account of where we are with God and where we are going. The Register had the opportunity to speak to two of our newest team members about their Catholic sojourn. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio, and I'm joined by Matthew Bunsen, the Register's Senior Editor and co-host of Register Radio. Every year, the Register team gathers in Birmingham, Alabama for Ash Wednesday and a Lenten retreat, as well as staff meetings. This year, Solène Tadier, our new Europe correspondent, joined us from Rome, and Elisa Murphy, our new Managing Editor of Digital Assets, joined us from Washington, D.C. Matthew and I welcome them on Register Radio from our Birmingham studio. We had them in studio with us. So, Solène, you have joined the Register team in Rome as one of our foreign correspondents covering Rome, covering Europe in a greater way, hopefully covering Italy, because that's where you live and you can see things up close and personal. But you have been a Catholic journalist for a while now in Rome.
Yeah.
What are the jobs you've done?
So previously I've been working like 4 years and a half at L'Osservatore Romano, first at the French edition, and then at the cultural service of the Italian newspaper.
Of course.
So I've been writing in Italian for almost 3 years, and previously in French. Before that, I used to work for Aletheia. I was the Rome correspondent for Aletheia. So I used to cover the Vatican and Rome in general.
Very good. And writing in French?
Writing in French and sometimes in Italian, and I was doing interviews in many languages. I was actually a kind of deputy editor of the cultural service, mm-hmm. So we used to publish stories about cultural news. So it was not necessarily Catholic. I used to write a lot of book reviews, mm-hmm. But not necessarily for Catholic books or.
Mm-hmm. Just cultural.
And this is the interesting thing. It is what I love to do. That is to see the world. So not the Catholic world, but the world from a Catholic point of view. And
right.
We can talk about it because it is what I like most with my job as a Catholic journalist, is not to make an analysis of the Catholic world, but to see the world from a Catholic point of view. And this is what I did as a journalist in this cultural service. It is what I did previously in Aletheia, and hopefully it's what I'm going to do at the National Catholic Register.
Right. So in other words, you're not necessarily just writing about Catholic things,
mm-hmm.
but as a Catholic yourself,
yeah.
you are seeing the world through the lens of being Catholic.
Yeah. It gives me a very original perspective. It gives me a moral foundation to see the world. That's why I love being a Catholic journalist, because even for a non-believer, to seek your analysis, your articles, this person will learn something, will see something he will never see in mainstream media, let's say that, in other media. And this is what I like the most with my job, just to offer a very original perspective to people.
Is there a particular story where you did that, whether you were covering a movie or a book or something that you've written that you know did really well, It gave the Catholic perspective and people liked it. You heard about it. Is there an example that you can give of something that worked?
Yeah, there are many, many stories, but there was a poetress, Marie Noël, a French poetress that I made. She's completely unknown in Italy and mostly in the whole world. And her letters were, her correspondence was published last year, and it was an opportunity for me to make her known in this newspaper. And even if she's Catholic, it's well known she's Catholic, but she's a very, very original Catholic because she had many doubts. She was feeling sometimes depressed, and so she was asking all the time some advice to her spiritual director. So I tried to discover her very original personality, to make the world know this very original personality, the character.
Yeah, in fact, I think I read that piece of yours on her. And what struck me about it was two things. The first is how you were able to bring to life someone that most people have never heard of, which is such a great task for a journalist. But the other thought that occurred to me was from the standpoint of being a Catholic, what you're able to learn in writing these pieces, even as you say, pieces that don't necessarily seem at first to be directly Catholic.
Yes, this book is a conversation between her and Abbé Arthur Meunier. He was very famous in Paris at the beginning of the 20th century. He was, let's say, a star among writers and filmmakers. So yes, the book was a success in France, not necessarily in the Catholic circles, because they were two famous characters with very special personality. And so my Catholic point of view was just to see the complexity in the human being. Marie Noël was very depressed. Most of the time, she had to stay in her bed. She couldn't write, and thanks to Abbé Meunier, she was able to overcome this great anxiety, her fear for death. Even if she was very Catholic, she had these deep fears that many non-believers have, and this is a good channel to get in touch with these people, with these non-believers. Through beauty, the beauty of poetry, and the beauty of a tormented soul.
You know, I was just talking with Matthew earlier today about some of the things I wanted to develop more of at the Register. And one of those things was a literary sense, a Catholic literary sense, a poetry culture. And it's so awesome to my ears to hear you talking about this being one of your loves. In you know, your Catholic journalism. But it is not always easy being a Catholic journalist. There are certainly challenges. What have been some of the challenges for you in this role?
Well, let's be honest. In France, it's not always socially it's not socially fulfilling, because many of my colleagues will see it as a bizarre vocation. They just don't understand why I should choose some kind of vocation, because you don't have the same perception from the population.
Right.
In the mainstream media in France, you were like a star immediately, and the Catholic field is not so
glamorous.
Yes, let's say that. So at the beginning, you have to make this choice. You have to accept it, that you are just choosing a different road, but you're choosing to search the truth in the different perspective, with a different moral foundation, and it's stronger. I think it will bring you further.
Sure.
Definitely.
And I mean, you are a young woman. You could have developed your career, I'm sure, in a secular journal or even TV or radio, and you didn't. You chose to be a Catholic journalist. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, at the beginning, I didn't plan to be a Catholic journalist. It just happened to me. The Lord brought me in this road. I wanted to do something very different in journalism when I arrived in Rome. I was called the first time in the Vatican as a translator. Mm-hmm. It was in 2012. And I must say, I have always been a Catholic, a believer, but I was not, my faith was not so strong, not as strong as it is right now. And I have to say that my experience in the Vatican changed my heart in a very, very strong way. I couldn't see the world in the same way after that. I just wanted to have an experience after, after being a translator at the Vatican. I wanted to write stories about what I've been translated at the Synod of Bishops. It was my first experience. And I was more and more curious about what was going on in the Vatican. Mm-hmm. It was I discovered this very special atmosphere, this very mysterious atmosphere. And so I was very curious about it, and I was really determined to know, to find out more about it and to continue in this way.
It is often said that journalists and others who spend too much time in the Vatican lose their faith. But it's striking to me that you going to a place where you are so close to the tomb of Peter actually had exactly the opposite effect, which I think is a very important point to make.
It was the contrary with me totally, because the fact when I saw the church so attacked, I wanted to defend it. Mm-hmm. I had this strong desire to defend it, because to make people know the truth from the inside. And I saw that many mainstream media was distorting facts, and I wanted to correct that. Mm-hmm. That's how my vocation was born, actually. This thirst for the truth, mm-hmm. and make people know the truth.
And to defend what you know is true, but also beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We share a lot in common in that regard. I grew up Catholic, and I never necessarily thought I would spend my life writing or, you know, being an editor in the Catholic world. But I fell in love with the church's richness in culture. The rich culture, Catholic culture, you know, that really developed Western Europe, you know, and is not necessarily recognized as Catholic any longer. I mean, the statues and all of this, but it's there. And so I'm so glad that we share this. All three of us really share this love of culture, because as I was saying to Matthew, I really want to bring this into the pages of the Register, onto our website, and having you as a part of our team is going to make that happen. So we're already out of time, and this is going to be, I hope, the first of many conversations on Register Radio. Thanks, Celine.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
God bless.
Stay tuned to ncregister.com for Celine Tattier's writings from Europe. When we come back, we'll talk to the Register's Managing Editor of Digital Assets, Alisa Murphy, about her conversion story. This is Register Radio on EWTN. More when we return.
Sacrifice is a profound virtue Catholics can lovingly embrace, especially during Lent. But this year, why not also indulge in something good for your soul? Give yourself the gift of EWTN's National Catholic Register and stay connected to the latest developments and historical traditions of our Catholic faith. Try the Register for free today and get it delivered to your home, office, or parish. To get your 6 free issues, order online at ncregister.com/radio or call 800-421-3230. And mention code RADIO, the National Catholic Register. It's the one indulgence you won't ever want to give up. Order online today at ncregister.com/radio. The National Catholic Register. Read faithfully.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
Welcome back. I'm Jeanette DeMello, Editor-in-Chief of the National Catholic Register and co-host of Register Radio. I'm joined by Matthew Bunsen here in studio. He's my co-host on Register Radio. And we are also joined by one of our newest team members, Alisa Murphy. Alisa, welcome to Register Radio. It's the first time you've been on.
Yes, it's wonderful to be here.
So you've joined the Register team now.
Very exciting.
As the managing editor of our digital assets, which is a big mouthful, but
yes.
Basically you are managing the digital world for the Register,
mm-hmm.
our website and our newsletter and our social media. You're helping everyone to see us.
Yes. And it's, with all the news coming out today, it's wonderful to really try to get that into all of our verticals.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to this work together. But you've come from EWTN Radio, so you're
yes.
not new to EWTN, but you weren't always in Catholic media. So what was your history in media?
Well, I did actually start more on the secular side,
mm-hmm.
Really in politics.
Okay.
I was working with a political show. First started with more of a hot AC format,
okay.
Where you're doing more of kind of your drive time,
yeah,
daily
sure.
quiz type shows.
Now, when you say hot AC, for
yes.
those who aren't familiar with the radio.
Adult contemporary.
Adult contemporary, there we go.
Where you tune in for all the greatest hits and what might be going on in your drive to work.
That's fun.
So it's a lot of fun. But then I got really involved in the political sphere, especially being in Washington, D.C., and I really enjoy the news,
mm-hmm. right.
And covering it. So that's kind of what I was doing before.
So you're a high energy person, and that's
really
thus the AC. You know, those morning drives and all of that. You got to have that energy.
Yes.
Okay.
Or coffee,
so
whatever you have.
I think it's a talent that you have, you know, that energy that you bring to the team, which is awesome. And that's one of the reasons we brought you to our team.
Well, I'm so blessed to be here.
But your faith is now a part of your talent, too.
Yes.
And you're bringing your talents to the church now. You jumped from the secular ship to the ark. And why? I mean, why did that happen? What made you bring your gifts and talents to us?
It's interesting because most political shows are all about conjecturing, talking about what might be.
I just feel like they yell at each other all the time.
Arguing, exactly. That's kind of the crux of it. Typically, the first part of a show, before you're on air, the first question is what side are you going to take?
Sure.
The whole thing is set up like a battle. And for me, you know, working in secular media, it wasn't as we were promoting anything that many things that are against church teaching, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things, you know, for example, traditional marriage, when certain things became law of the land, when it wasn't just conjecturing,
right.
It really became something where, you know, you are in front of a microphone and you're silent,
sure.
because you don't want to be applauding this or talking about this. So it really became a search for something that really did align with my faith and my heart.
Where you could actually speak what you believe.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And that has certainly become harder, in print when we're trying to figure out how to talk about marriage now,
mm-hmm.
and we don't want to give over and say gay marriage, you know, and they criticize us for these scare quotes,
yes.
you know, but language matters.
It
you
does
know? And giving over to language means something. You're
mm-hmm.
giving over more than just a word. You're giving over a whole definition,
yeah.
a whole concept.
And we've seen that, the erosion of language in many different topics.
But, you know, in radio, it's harder to do scare quotes, you know.
Yeah.
I'm doing the scare quotes right now.
You just have to sound really scary when you say it. I think that's how we try to translate it.
So I could see how that brings silence sometimes.
Yes,
you know,
completely.
I understand. Mm-hmm. What has been some of the joy of working in Catholic media?
I really think it has to do with being able to share some of the good news that we're really experiencing within the political sphere and in national news on the pro-life front.
Mm-hmm.
There has been many, lots of progress made, especially with religious liberty. Matthew, you and I being in D.C., just to be steps away from Congress where they're actually having to ratify a bill that
right.
says, we're not going to make fun of your Catholic faith has been very interesting.
Or to cover hearings where exactly that happens.
Exactly.
Where some a nominee's Catholic faith is brought up to use scare quotes
mm-hmm.
That somehow being Catholic or belonging to something like an organization like the Knights of Columbus
mm-hmm.
is put in scary terms
yes.
By secular power.
Yes. I mean, it's interesting to work in Catholic media at this time because there is this this fight going on within the political sphere and even within media, where 80-90% of it is all kind of one voice.
Right.
And to really unpack a story looking through the eyes of the universal church,
right,
and what we offer. Because as a convert myself, you know, that's the interesting thing is you really feel moved to, you know, the Catholic imagination. It's completely different than Christianity in my own mind as a convert.
Unpack that, because I don't know that.
Well,
everyone...
I mean, you know, it's interesting. You know, my husband, he's Christian.
Okay.
And sometimes I go to church with his family when we're in town in Pennsylvania on a Sunday, and I'll go to Mass the night before. But Sunday morning, you know, we go into the church and there's no altar.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a podium and a speaker, and it's kind of a gospel church. But just the art as soon as you
sure.
walk into a church, the reverence, the everything pointing to heaven, transubstantiation, these things that really bring a whole new dimension to how you even walk outside and take in the sunshine.
It's a mysticism, I think.
It really is. It really is. And there's such a beauty.
Right. It's a mysticism that I love to try to share with people because I'm from New Orleans, you know. Yes, but you know, I mean, New Orleans has a lot of belief, you know. It may not always be in the right things, voodoo, you know. But it has a lot of belief, and it has a lot of passion, and it has a lot of Catholics too, right? I always say if there's someone from New Orleans and they're not practicing the faith, you just need to just scratch the surface, and belief is there because we've grown up with a Catholic culture in New Orleans. We've grown up in a culture of mysticism. And so I love to draw that out in people. It's something that we should endeavor to do in all of our digital media, too, I think, figuring that out how to do
the idea of a Catholic ethos.
Absolutely.
How, as somebody who's working in all these different platforms of communications, now social media in particular, and the digital side, what are some of the tricks for people who are looking for that Catholic ethos in what is a vast digital continent where you can find yourself in some very dark jungles and dark forests?
Completely. And that's one thing. It's so a blessing to be with the Register just because of it being the oldest Catholic paper and some of the wonderful perspectives that's shared. You know, when I think of ethos, it's interesting. Adoption is really a Christian ethos.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend, you know, Dr. Gracie Christie, who's traveled to China to adopt a child. And when she had her little baby Lily in her hands, people were coming up to her on the street saying, "Oh, Christian, you Christian?" Because it's a language.
Okay.
It's a universal language. And so it's interesting just in looking at an issue like adoption, it's something you'd read in any newspaper today, to really to paint the heart and love behind these issues, that really is where you find the church working.
But also how that, just a topic like adoption, ties also into a Catholic Christian understanding of marriage, of family.
Exactly.
How everything is sort of connected, to use that old image, symphonically.
Mm-hmm.
That all of this exists in a harmony. And when you pull one part out, it's not as harmonious as it should be.
Yes, and we have such a reliance, not only with our bishops, with the catechism, with the doctors of the church, to really look at these issues, and they are refined and critiqued. It's nothing that's kind of left open for, you know, there's things we discuss and things we want to push and understand, but the rigor that the Catholic faith has in really defining what our faith is something that you don't really see anywhere else. And if we would ever just use that type of scrutiny with journalism, just imagine the world today.
Well, I know you're a big fan of Thomas Aquinas.
And it was through Thomas Aquinas. I was kind of a nerd, I guess, in undergrad reading the Summa.
Wow. As a non-Catholic.
As a non-Catholic.
Christian, but I was just, you know, into philosophy, medieval philosophy. It was reading the Summa,
yeah,
where I was just blown away. And here I am after class every day calling my dad a devout, you know, Christian, more kind of a Baptist. I converted, he converted.
Wow.
My mom's like, oh, you guys finally came along.
Is she but, Catholic? Okay.
Yeah. So it was just, you know, something that it was that kind of understanding God from an talking to an atheist and being able to look at these are real things that when you really want to talk spiritually, you can't deny.
You know, you talk about this rigor. The Catholic Church offers this rigor. There are not a lot of people these days, I feel like, think of rigor as a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we live in such a fluid society, you know. Here we have subjectivism and relativism.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we offer what we've got to offer to a society that likes Twinkies instead of, you know, the real food?
Yeah, I guess that's the thing, though, is it? It seems like everything is all about a divide.
Mm-hmm.
You're either on this side or you're that side, even with your Twinkies. Yeah, I like the M&Ms. I'm on this side, whatever it is. There's always a divide. And I find that sometimes we can get so stuck on our side,
sure,
that it stunts and stagnates any of that dialogue.
That makes a lot of sense. It's media today, that even it feels like the church today is constantly talking about us against them, you know, mm-hmm, whether it's a sort of more, to use secular terms, liberal and conservative sides of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And the Register often gets labeled in that. And so it's a joy for me to hear your vision for promoting unity, because that's certainly what we really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
The church is the body of Christ.
And
the body of Christ has many different parts, and we want to make sure we're representing all those parts. So
mm-hmm,
thanks, Alisa, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Follow ncregister.com or the National Catholic Register on Facebook and Twitter, and you'll be watching the handiwork of Alisa Murphy. Remember, for more news, analysis, and commentary, check out the National Catholic Register online at ncregister.com. Thanks for joining us on Register Radio here on EWTN. For Matthew Bunsen and our producer, Michael McCall, I'm Jeanette DeMello. Until next week, God bless you.